On this episode, we will be watching
TNT Jackson.
Looks like you're giving me some competition.
Oh no, baby, not me.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to finally a new episode of Bad Rad Movies. Oh my goodness, you know, and I'm reading a script here because I'm a character. My name's not even really Richard. It's Bartholomew James III Esquire, you know, because when I tell people about my podcast, they go, oh yeah, what character do you play as? I'm like, what? Like, I don't know if... anyway, so let's go back. Okay, so here's the actual show, Bad Rad Movies. For those of you that don't know about the podcast or this is your first time listening to this, Cameron. Oh, by the way, I'm Richard Succa, and I have my co-host, the innumerable, the incredible, and I know I already said your name, but what is your name, good sir?
Well, I couldn't come up with a good fake name, so I guess I'll go with Cameron.
What does it say on your clean feed?
I'd rather not say.
Why?
Cameron Toe.
Wow. Oh. I know it's stupid, but I don't know why. I just wanted to hear you say it.
Good job rehashing that.
What do you mean rehashing it? I never used that before.
I feel like you have.
No, I never have. This is my first time ever mentioning anything having to do with Cameron Toe or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, cool. So,
so what are we all about, mofo?
Hold on, I have to check my script.
Well, we don't have
a script.
Yeah, we don't have a script. It's all fucking real.
I guess I'll ad lib then.
All right.
So, we watch bad movies that are hopefully bad but good movies, but oftentimes they're not, but sometimes they are. So, yeah.
Yes, and when we talk about the movie, and of course we spoil the movie, so if for whatever reason you don't want spoilers, I don't know, go watch the movie, but if you don't give a shit and you don't want to watch a movie like that, then just keep on listening, and by the end, we'll let you know if we are going to recommend the movie or if we're not going to recommend the movie. So, yeah.
Have we had anyone get mad at us for spoiling a movie yet?
No, I've never had anybody, like, get mad about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing, I guess.
Yeah, the only thing I ever got, well, it wasn't directed towards me, but it was directed towards...
Thing.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I got. I got, like, two of those I got. And yeah, and that's about it. And no, but I hope nobody like gets upset and they're like, man, I wanted to watch this movie. Now you guys fucking spoiled it or whatever. But
I mean, we do say disclaimers like constantly, but you figure there's that one person.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Yeah. Who knows? Like they might've been like busy eating a cookie or they're like jacking off to porn or something. And like, they didn't hear that. And then like, and then when they say, oh, you fucking spoiled it for me. Then we tell them, no, we say spoilers and we spoil the movie. And then they go back and they're like, oh, I must've missed it 'cause I was jacking off to like some kind of porn.
Did you go from eating a cookie to jacking off to porn?
Yes. But you never know, like, that's the crazy thing, that, like, there's so many people in this world that anything you say that somebody might be doing, like, at that very second that you say it, like, somebody out there is doing that. Like, right now, I could, like, when I'm talking about a guy that's eating a cookie somewhere in this world at this specific time as I'm talking about it is eating a cookie, and a guy is jacking off to porn. And there might be a guy out there that is jacking off and eating cookies while jacking off to porn, like at this very moment. That's like, that's how crazy it is. Like you could say something that's going on and like, that's what's going to happen. 'Cause that's how many fucking people live in this world. It's nuts.
Wow. Thanks for the mind fuck.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, aside from the odd examples. Yeah. Good point.
But yeah, so apologies for us not doing an episode for a very, very long time. Well, I mean, it's not like it's been like fucking years or anything like that. I think it's been about like 3 months. But yeah, obviously, you've been busy with stuff, doing things, and I have been too. I've been very busy with a lot of things. If you want to know the specifics, go to episode 66.5, Bad Rad Update, and you will understand why. Shit. Yeah, understand, and then you'll understand why. Because here's the weird thing, though. I mean, well, first off, what movie are we doing, Cameron?
TNT Jackson.
TNT Jackson. Black bombshell with a short fuse.
Damn.
The name is Diana Jackson. TNT to you.
This hit lady's charm will break both your arms. She's a one mama massacre squad.
She fights as good as any man I've ever seen. She should be eliminated.
What the hell's going on?
TNT's mad, and that's real bad.
You want it black? You got it black.
With that dynamite barge, she's a jet black hit squad.
I love your style.
A super soul sister and a bad news brother undercover out to blast the killer army that's poisoning the people with deadly China white.
I want in on the next delivery, but I want to pick my own men. I want to form a squad of the finest fighters in this city.
You dirty black bastard.
Take care of your business and then get out of here. You know, this isn't exactly the same place.
You best beat a fine or she'll shatter your spine.
I love that.
Black Chinatown, where flesh is cheap and life is cheaper. And the Red Dragon rules. TNT Jackson. She'll put you in traction.
You'll love it.
Oh, shit. TNT Jackson. Yeah, and I gotta say, the cover for TNT Jackson looks very, very familiar and looks almost identical to Black Shampoo, except the difference
is...
Well, because, like, on the Black Shampoo cover or poster... The entire background is white, and the main character is illustrated, and that's about it. That's the only similarity between those two. But with this one, with Black Shampoo, there's like two blonde white women that are at his legs, and he's holding a gun. But this one, TNT Jackson, is only by herself, where there's a car in the to the right of her, and there's like a vault safe door that's opened or some shit. And I think she is carrying a gun. But that's about it. Like, that's the only real kind of similarity to it, and the fact that it takes place during the 70s. So, yeah. Anyway, so before we talk about this movie, Cameron, do you want to talk about what you've been doing since we did the last episode, or do you want me to go first?
I'm gonna let you go first.
Okay. So, there's been a lot of things going on with me. Like I said, check out 66.5 for the major one, but if you don't want to hear it, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. Because the reason why I only bring it up is because, like, when I had released that one, I don't know, like, a couple weeks ago or something like that, like, I had a bunch of messages from people. They were like, hey man, where's the episodes? How come you haven't put a new episode out? Why haven't you put out some more content?
The update?
Yeah, like I released the update like 2 weeks ago, and I got I think 2 or 3 days after, like, throughout that time, Even before up till now, I've been getting messages from people going, hey, why haven't you put out any new episodes? And when are you going to have new episodes? Why were you gone for so long? And blah, blah, blah. And then, like, that kind of made me, like, go back. And then when as I'm about to reply to them, I'm like, great, now I got to relive that moment of... Which, like I said, I don't want to spoil 66.5. Listen to that and you'll understand why.
Don't spoil the updates, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil the updates. I'm not going to spoil 66.5. But, yeah, so I had to relive that moment again. And then when I told them why, like, they were so... I could tell, like, it was really fucking awkward because, like, majority of them did not reply back. And one, and then two people were like, dot, dot, dot. Sorry. And then I never got a message back. And then yeah, and then one person, Ryan from Late Night Psychorama, he put, hey man, my sorry, my condolences. So appreciate that, Ryan from Late Night Psychorama. Thank you very much. Anyway,
he's the real MVP.
Yep, he is. So yeah, that's, and then of course with me, because I was figuring out, shit, what the fuck am I gonna do? How am I gonna, like, what do I need to keep myself active? I'm actually going for getting my bachelor's degree in business.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've been going to school. I've been going to school for the past few, like, couple months now, or 2.5 months. That's also one of the reasons why I haven't put out a new episode, is because I've been trying to, like, figure out my schedule. 'Cause, like... I had to get used to doing online classes.
Yeah, so, has that been working?
It definitely, it's great now. Like, before, I was fucking struggling with it. Because I'm, let's see, because, like, each class takes about, like, I don't know, 8-9 weeks. So, the first class I had was art history, which I don't really understand what that has to do with trying to get a bachelor's degree in business, but okay. So I aced that one, and now I'm currently, like, more than halfway through my accounting class. So I'm taking an accounting class right now.
Yeah, very proud.
Yeah. So now, later on, if I start, you know, getting my bachelor's degree, not only will I be a guy that has that loves doo-doo caca pee-pee fart humor, but I'll be a guy that loves doo-doo caca pee-pee fart humor with a bachelor's degree in business. So there you go.
That's the American dream.
Oh, yes.
In a nutshell.
Of course. Yes, the American dream. Anyway, so what's been so what's been going on with you?
Pretty much the same thing with that. I've been doing online classes. I also teach one in grade for another, so it's been nice, so I could stay at home with the dogs and literally not go anywhere.
Okay.
And then the weekends I kind of take off into the desert and kind of get a little lost. So it's been sort of a different, slower rhythm than when I've been in Long Beach, but some pros and cons, but it's been an interesting chapter. So
That's good
stuff.
That's good. So you haven't really, well, so you're taking online classes, but why? I thought you already had your bachelor's.
Oh, I'm like halfway through my master's.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So now you're trying to get your master's degree. Cool.
Yep.
So anyway, Cameron, do you want to talk about who, the movie, like, as far as, like, the information, or do you want me to give the information?
Do you have anything up? Because I have to bring something up.
Yeah, I got it up, no problem. I just wasn't sure if you wanted to do it, or, you know.
Okay, cool.
All right, yeah. So a little bit of information about TNT Jackson. This movie came out in 1974. This was directed by a fellow by the name of Cirio H. Santiago. I'm looking through his credits, and this guy has directed a lot of movies. Unfortunately, none of them that I've ever heard of, at least as far as... I know. Oh, wait, actually, oh my God, one of the movies that I picked, which is actually on the Wheel of Shit, was directed by this guy.
Oh, right now?
which is Firecracker. I had no idea. What a coincidence. Who knew?
Wow.
So looks like
small world.
I know. You picked a movie directed by this guy, and I picked a movie directed by this guy. Shit. That's crazy. Anyway, so yeah, nothing I've ever heard of, really, because I'm like scrolling through it. There's some that actually kind of look interesting based on the titles, like Vampire Hookers and Cover Girl Models, Room 69.
Okay, but actually, I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, I mean, apparently the last movie he did was Water Wars, which says 2014. But here's the weird thing, though. This guy died in 2008. So how the fuck did he direct a movie that came out in 2014 when he died in 2008?
Oh.
Okay, you know what? I think I know the answer. He probably directed this movie and he died while directing it, I guess. And then maybe it took a long time or whatever the case is, and they just they released it in 2014 is probably what it is.
Oh, because don't some of those slow budget movies take a while to actually get like out there?
Yeah, that's true too. That's probably why. Yeah, it says here that he he died in the Philippines, which I had a feeling this guy was from the Philippines. And he died from lung cancer. So there you go. And then as far as did you want to do the Cynopus, or did you still not pull anything up and you want me to read the Cynopus?
I only found like a one sentence one.
Okay, I'll
it's really shitty.
All right, I'll do this one. It's definitely longer than one sentence. A woman encounters thugs and drug dealers after traveling to Hong Kong to search for her missing brother. And so, yeah, that's what it's about, basically. And you know what's weird, too, is that this this movie is supposed to take place in Hong Kong, but I don't think it does. I think it's in the Philippines. And
yeah, I just looked it up. It said it was based in the Philippines, but funded by U.S. sources because of the cheaper production costs.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. And I kind of had a feeling, too, because it's like, I mean, obviously, because, like, I'm part Asian, like, I can tell the difference between different Asian people. And, like, I'm, like, looking and I'm going, these guys aren't Chinese. They're not. Like, which is fine. I don't have a problem with, like, you know, different, like, races playing another race. But it's just kind of funny. I just find it kind of funny that, like, if you're in this director's perspective that's releasing this movie about an African-American woman that knows Kung Fu and, like, and it says it takes place in, like, Hong Kong or in China or something like that. And then, like, because you're like, oh, well, you know, a lot of white people are going to watch this, or people that are not Asian, and majority of them can't tell the difference between different Asians, or they think all Asians look like how you do. And, you know, we're just going to say they're Chinese. So that's the feeling that I had. So it's kind of like, anyways.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
That
so
says a lot about our society.
Yeah.
Society.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, not familiar with any of the actors except for one actor named Stan Shaw, which he plays as Charlie in the movie, the African American with the afro. I recognize him from actually a lot of movies. Like this guy's been in a shitload of movies. He was in,
I feel like I've seen him before.
Yeah, he has been in a lot of movies. Like, he's been in Monster Squad and, like, Cutthroat Island and, like, Rising Sun and stuff like that. And, like, the most recent stuff, though, like, it says here he's been in Jeepers Creepers 3, which I don't even think I've seen that. I didn't even know there was a Jeepers Creepers 3.
Only seen the first one. One worth watching.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you saw the second one, but you didn't like it?
Part of it.
Yeah. So, and then he was in Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor. He's got a long list of credits here, and I don't want to read them all. So, but yeah, he was the only actor in it. And apparently, what is it? Oh, okay, never mind. I'm not even going to finish that sentence. Anyway, so, Cameron, how does the movie start?
Well, it starts by our protagonist, who I initially didn't think was TNT Jackson, because apparently I'm just a sexist piece of shit.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Going to Hong Kong, I thought the dude was TNT Jackson.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But so TNT Jackson goes to Hong Kong. And she doesn't go to a very good part of Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to somewhere that the cab driver refers to as a no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And why is that, Richard?
Because nobody that goes in gets out. Police don't even go there. Rival gang members don't even go there. Yeah. And actually, you fucked it up too.
Oh.
That's not how it opens. That's not how it opens up. We get a cold opening of some guy.
Oh. With drugs, right?
Yeah, he is running away from a bunch of Chinese guys, quotation mark fingers. And then as he's running away, we see the character Charlie pop out, and that's when they bust out their kung fu. And what did you think of the choreography of that?
Very hit and miss, but mostly miss. Get it? Because they didn't actually hit them. You know, because they got 2 inches from their face, and the guy would fall back like he got punched. You know?
You're not funny and nobody likes you.
Yeah.
Shut up.
What did you think about the choreography?
Shut up. You are stupid.
Wow.
So then TNT Jackson comes out and she goes into the taxi cab and then she's so like, funny. Hey, you know, I need to go to this part of town. And she hands the taxi driver a piece of paper. And then he's like, oh, no, I can't go into that part of the town. And she's like, why not? And he's like, oh, wait, or did you want to role play on this? Do you want to be TNT Jackson or do you want to be the Chinese taxi driver?
I'll be the Chinese taxi driver.
Okay, and you better get it accurate. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, mister. I need you to take me over here. I'm handing you a piece of paper that says where I'm going to go.
Oh, no. I can't go there. That's a no man's land.
I said you better do it accurate.
Oh, sorry. Let me get my script.
Hold on. Action.
This
take,
doesn't exist.
Action. Take two. Excuse me, sir. I got a piece of paper right here which tells me where I'm going to go. Can you take me there?
No, I cannot. Because this is a place where no one goes. Otherwise known as a no man's land.
Cut. Hold on. Cameron. You're playing a Chinese taxi driver. That's your character. You have to get into the moment. You have to pretend like you're a Chinese driver that's taking somebody to a place that they're not, that they can't go. And you only know a little bit of English because you don't really get that many people that speak English in China or in Hong Kong. So, all right? So just... Remember, you're a Chinese taxi driver, okay? You got that?
Okay.
Okay. Take three. Excuse me, sir. I have a piece of paper here that I'm going to hand over to you, and it's going to say where I need to go, and can you take me there, please?
Oh, no. I cannot go there.
No, Manlan.
Why not? Why can't I go there? Why won't you let me go there? I need to go there.
Bad place.
What you mean, bad place?
Many gangs. No police.
And scene.
Wow.
How does it feel to be a racist piece of shit?
Cameron, you're a Chinese cab driver. Make sure you know you
so
do that
then,
thing, you know?
So then, the Chinese taxi driver tells TNT Jackson that he'll only take her up to the spot that's safe. So she goes. So she goes to the location, and then what happened after that, Cameron?
Well, she beats up a bunch of people.
Yes, and she has some really good kung fu moves that she does, which is mainly like, I don't know, because we all know she's trying to look for somebody, which I don't even think... I mean, she does explain, or maybe not over-explain, but she does explain that she's looking for her brother. And, like, the part of that when she goes into the area, immediately we could tell that this is a really bad area because there is a Chinese guy that pulls out a woman butt-ass naked and starts trying to rape her, and then another Chinese guy goes up and he's like... They're doing like some really bad kung fu, like as if they're playing patty cake, and he throws him on the ground or kills him or some shit. So she goes in, and somehow a group of other Chinese guys look at her and go, oh, we're going to fucking rape her. And she's like, you know, fighting them off too. But the choreography wasn't as bad as the cold opening one between Charlie and her brother, but it was still pretty bad.
Does it seem to you like they edited the speed?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that. Because here's the thing. This came out during basically the same time as, like, you know, Bruce Lee movies, like Enter the Dragon and shit like that. So everybody wanted to hop on that train, like, to make those kind of kung fu movies. And although I give this movie credit where they were trying to do something different... It was executed in a way where it looked like nobody knew what the fuck they were doing. And they were like, oh, because it's cheaper to film in the Philippines, we're just going to say that it's in China because, you know, white people can't tell the difference between Chinese people or Asian people. So, yeah. But anyway, so she beats the shit out of all of them somehow.
She even, like, magically appears behind the dude.
Yes.
Knocks him out.
Yeah, and then after she beats every guy up, except for one dude who has like two butterfly knives, which I gotta say, he was good at those butterfly knives, but...
Yeah, I was subtly impressed.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how well exactly he was good, because while he was doing like the twisty stuff and flipping up the butterfly knife, it was like in real slow motion. So I don't, for all we know, he could have just done it like... I don't know, slow, and they use the extra slow effect to make it seem, I don't know. It's a mind fuck.
Yeah,
but
you're probably right.
Yeah. So after he starts showing off that, like, oh, look here, bitch, I know how to use butterfly knives. You think you can get a piece of this, or you think you can kick my ass? And so they start going at it. Yeah, he's got two of them. And then the more fighting happens between her and butterfly knife guy. And for some reason, she does, like, this open palm thing behind him and fucking, like, she breaks his arm off because his arm goes, like, in the opposite direction of how it bends. And you see his bones sticking out and blood's coming out. And
yo,
I'm like,
that shit was gnarly.
Yeah. And I just started laughing because I was watching this with my girl and we were, like, just watching it and we were just dying at how ridiculous that was, but it was pure gold. Like, it was great. Like,
I think I like
undervalued that moment.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened after that, Cameron?
And then she goes... wait, doesn't she get picked up? Is that where she...
Yes.
Like the one white chick in the movie?
Yes, she does get picked up by this white woman. Typical blonde white woman.
Mm-hmm. She goes to a bar, right? Joe's place?
Yeah, because I think that's initially where she wanted to go. I think so, because that's, I guess that's where her brother last was there. So that's probably why she was looking for Joe's place. And they go, and immediately, this is what me and my girl found funny. Like, when TNT Jackson is talking to this white woman, which I think her name is Elaine in the movie, like, instead of, like, thanking her for saving her life, basically, because more guys came out and wanted to kill her, even though I think Seriously. Because she's TNT Jackson, she could have easily took him out after she fucking, like, literally broke off a guy's fucking arm, like, ripped it out, but broke it off. Yeah, like Mortal Kombat style. But anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So then, like, instead of thanking her, she's like, listen here, I don't need your crack ass to fucking help my ass out. And then like, after that, Elaine just looks at her and goes, bitch. And then me and my girl was laughing because it's just the way how she said it. She goes, bitch. Like, and then, like, after that, it has a hard cut where they're just having a casual conversation after, like, it's, anyway. So, yeah. So they go.
I follow you on that.
Yeah, so that was hilarious, and, like, they go to the Joe's place, and it just basically looks like any random bar or something, and I don't know, she meets up with this guy Joe, which he's, like, this, I don't know, this kind of old dude. Well, he's not old, but he's, like, probably, like, in his mid-40s, I want to say, like, mid-40s Filipino, I mean, Chinese guy, practicing kung fu, but he's, like, terrible at it, and even the guy that's, like, sparring with him is kicking his ass. So she's asking questions about her brother, because I guess that was the last time her brother's last went to Joe's place, and she was like, oh, did he pick up the envelope that I sent? And so he doesn't answer any of her questions, just basically gestures her to follow him, and he goes and he opens this, like, a drawer or closet or something, and gives her back the envelope, and he just goes, he never came and picked it up. And so she was like, oh, okay. And that just kind of gives, like, raises more questions. Mm-hmm. So more fighting ensues between the waitress that looks like she's half Asian and white, like myself, and Joe jumps in and just starts kicking everybody's ass. And then TNT Jackson sees this.
Start?
Well, because one of the guys was, like, groping on the waitress, and she wasn't having it. And so she hits him. And he was going to hit her. So that's when Joe saw that he was going to hit her, he grabs his hand. And the guy was like, don't fucking grab my hand. And then that's when he tried to punch him. But Joe fucking knocks him out. And then that's how the whole fight happens. And then, like, for some reason, TNT Jackson sees this, and she jumps in and joins the fight too. And
it kind of seems like just random fights break out, and then she just kind of says, fuck it, let me join in.
Yeah, exactly. And then what happened after that, Cameron?
We get the guy who I named Froga,
Charlie,
checking in with the drug group. Yeah, Charlie, who I initially thought was TNT Jackson.
You know what? I'm pretty sure if they weren't going to go for a woman in the story to play as TNT Jackson, I'm pretty sure they would have had this guy. They would have had Stan Shaw's Charlie character. And, yeah. So, I guess he comes out, and what? He sees TNT Jackson, and he's, like, instantly in love with her. So he's, like, going up. Yeah. So he's going up to her, and he's, like, talking to her, like, saying the, you know, doing his, like, picking up game, I guess, that he does with every girl. And he's like, hey, baby, where'd you come from? And, like, they're just having a normal conversation. And so he basically like wants to introduce her to, I guess, besides Elaine, there is another guy, like some, I don't know, I forgot their names, but there is a white guy. There is a who's like the head of this organization that they're a part of, where they basically sell drugs or something like that. And then there's a Chinese. Yeah, heroin. And there is a Chinese guy, quotation mark fingers, named Ming, who is basically the supplier who between them and, I guess, I'm assuming maybe the triads of this movie. I guess, like, I don't know.
The stereotype name.
Yeah. So then, yeah, so then he goes and he's like basically saying, hey, the guys that are part of the crew want to meet you. And she's like, no, I don't want to, or do you want to be Charlie, or do you want to be TNT Jackson?
I'll be TNT Jackson.
Okay. Hey, baby, I just want to let you know that the people that are part of my crew, they want to meet you. Like, you want to go and meet them?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I'm just looking for my brother and shit.
Well, don't you mean that, you know, that you don't have people come up and want to meet you? Like, you go up and meet them because you want to make the decision? Is that what you mean?
Nah, son.
I think you mean yes, because that's what happens in the movie, you stupid-ass bitch. I mean,
yeah, son. Motherfucker walk down the street.
Wow. So then...
That's okay to you. Just to over-explain.
That's a what?
That's a quote from a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, crack-ass white bitch. Continue. Walking down the street. So, basically, Charlie is asking TNT Jackson if she wants to go, if she wants to go and meet them. She says no. I don't go and meet people. They come up to me, and people meet me. They come up to me, having that, you know, pride and stuff. So somehow he puts in his game and says, come on, like, you know, go up to them. And she's like, okay. So she goes, and he introduces everybody to her. And yeah, so basically, I guess she's a part of their crew now, question mark. Because I wasn't sure, like, I got very confused by this character. Like, I wasn't sure if she was, like a Foxy Brown, like, Pam Grier undercover police officer kind of person. Or if she was, like, you know what I mean? Or if she was trying to be, like, a vigilante.
I think that was vague and probably not intentionally. I think it was just poor script writing.
Yeah, I mean, because at this point, I know that she's trying to look for her brother. I get that. Mm-hmm. But really, she's not a police officer. She's not, as a matter of fact, we even see in the movie that she hates police officers. Because at one point, she even calls a cop a pig. So it's like, she has no sense of, like, you know, doing the right thing or anything like that. She has no moral compass. Yeah. So it's like, I wasn't sure if she was like actually being a part of the crew or if she was like, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, this got confusing because it felt like I thought at first she was like an undercover agent or a police officer or something. But no, like, it just turns out she's not. So
I guess just a vigilante.
More like, I want to say they kind of threw in a little bit of that Death Wish kind of thing. Yeah, where she basically... But here's the thing, though. Like, how could she get revenge if she doesn't know if her brother's dead? Like, she just thinks that he's missing or hasn't responded or anything like that. Anyway, okay, so then...
No, for real, she just kind of goes in and, like, beats people up on assumptions.
Yeah. She does. Yeah. So then I guess we don't see, like, we start seeing like things happening between these main three people, which is Charlie, white man and Ming, you know, basically trying to get a deal to go down, basically trying to sell the heroin. Somehow, I guess the operation gets interrupted, and for some reason, everybody except for Charlie, because Charlie is in love with TNT Jackson, thinks that TNT Jackson had something to do with it, with that deal going down or whatever.
Oh, but doesn't he say, like, to the drug guys, like, oh, I don't think she'll be a problem, though? Or at least at first.
Well, like, yeah, like, thinking that, like, she's not going to be a problem, meaning that, like, you know, she's not going to be, like, you know, oh, I can't do this, this is goes against my moral compass, or anything like that. Because I'm
she's
sure...
a very vague moral compass.
Yeah, so I think that's what he meant, is that he's not going to, that she's not going to snitch out on them, or, like, you know, or whatever the case is, because, I mean, plus he's in love with her. So, and which
yeah,
is very
he's
clear.
Trying to hit that.
Exactly. So, but yeah. Then I guess at some point, because Ming is basically the main one that has suspicions of TNT Jackson, fucking up that deal. So Charlie goes up to TNT Jackson, and lets her know that Ming wants to talk to her. And then at the same time, Elaine, the white woman, goes and talks to, wants to talk with TNT Jackson as well, over at Joe's practice dojo area. Come to find out after she beats her up, or I don't know, I don't think she beats her up. I think they just like tied her up or something. And she reveals.
They, like, do like a cat fight.
Yeah, they do a cat. Yeah, that. And then we find out that the reason why the drug deal went down poorly, or it's got fucked up, is because Elaine is an undercover agent. And so she tells.
What?
Yeah, so she tells TNT Jackson this, which we'll try to roleplay here. Hopefully Cameron won't fuck it up. But you want to be Elaine or you want to be TNT Jackson?
I'll be Elaine.
Okay. All right. You're revealing who you are to me.
Hey, TNT. I'm actually a cop, by the way.
Yeah, right. And I'm Snow White from the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs movie.
Well, so your name is, insert name here.
Diane.
And you're 24 years
old. Diane Jackson.
Diane Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Alias TNT Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie. You're 24, and, like, your brother went missing here?
Oh, shit! Holy shit, you are a fucking pig!
Ma'am, I'm just a law enforcement officer trying to do my job.
I don't give a shit.
Shit.
Why the hell would I want to help a pig like you?
You know, because, like, maybe the people that led to your brother's disappearance, you know, maybe are involved with this, because everything in this part of the town kind of seems to connect somehow.
You idiot!
Yeah. Oh, damn it. Poorly timed. I shouldn't have said yeah after you put the "you idiot" little sound bit. Alright, yeah. Whatever, we're gonna ignore that.
So then Charlie comes into the room and says, hey, TNT Jackson, Ming wants to talk to you. He's like, oh, what are you doing here, Elaine? She's like, I could ask you the same thing, Charlie. He's like, all right, look, Ming wants to talk to you because some shit went down with the deal. And yeah, so and then Elaine comes in because she doesn't want to blow her cover. And I guess basically her and TNT Jackson make a deal. That they'll help each other out. So then Elaine, still playing as the, I don't know, part of that criminal organization, she says, there must be some mistake. TNT would never do anything like that. And they're like, okay, well, yeah. And she's like, I'll go talk to white man about it. So they go, and I guess somehow... Yeah.
I think this scene kind of shows the TNT's a bit wishy-washy with her, not only her morals, but like she's not even sticking to her own point. Like, she hates cops, but she's like, nah, it's okay, I'm going to help you out. Like, okay.
Well, I think she's only agreeing to help her out because she wants to find out what happened to her brother.
Oh, okay. Continue.
So then Elaine is trying to convince a white man that, you know, it wasn't TNT Jackson that did it. And white man is just going, well, I guess you do have a point there. And then Ming interrupts and he says, well, let me do this. Let me just talk to her and see what she knows. And he's like, all right, you go and do that. Then it quick cuts to where they have TNT Jackson tied up sitting on a bed. And then, like, Ming is, like, questioning her about the deal. And she's obviously saying, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's, like, he rips open her shirt. You see her tits. And he's, like, getting his cigar. And he's about to, like, burn. I don't know. I think he was about to burn her left breast. But then he stops. And then he looks. And he's, like, maybe we don't need to resort to torture. Such a waste. He's like, I always was curious. Maybe we don't need to do this kind of interrogation. And then immediately after he says that, I'm quoting here, she says, I never done it with the chink before.
She says that more than once, or that word at least.
I don't remember like, wow. I don't remember the second time when she said that. When did she say that again?
I think it was toward the end. I recall hearing it several times.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If I can find that other one, I will play it
in there?
As a clip. But if I don't find it, I'm going to play something else in replacement of that. I think it was
said maybe once or twice more, maybe not by her, but at least more than once.
Well, I mean, so are you saying that it was said more than once by other people throughout this entire movie? Or are you talking about, like, just only her saying it?
I don't remember if it's her, but I heard it a few times.
Overall. Okay. All right. Yeah. So after she says, I never made it with the chink before, he's like, that entices him. But at the same time, I think you could tell on his face, he's like kind of getting offended by it. But he was like, oh, wait, I'm not Chinese. I'm Filipino playing Chinese, but I'm still going to like pretend like I'm offended. But at the same time, I'm going to overlook that word and I'm going to still have sex with her. And so as he's getting closer, she like somehow she grabs his cigar, but like pushes it towards his face and it burns his face. And she pushes him where he hits another guy. And she does like some kind of a flip or something and hits the other guy behind her that had her arm strapped down or was holding her arm down. And this was another part that I was laughing at only because like of how ridiculous it was. She knocks out the light bulb and immediately says, you wanted it black. Now it is black.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down. So, yeah. Oh, she said, you want it black. You got it black.
Yeah, because get it? Because, you know, it's dark in the room.
And how does that connect again?
Well, because as she said, I never did it with a chink before, and he without saying it, was, you know, implying, oh, through his movements and his facial gestures, saying that he never had sex with a black woman before, and because she knows that he wanted to have sex with her and she knows that she's a black woman, she turns off knocks out the lights and it's dark and she's saying you wanted black, now you got black. Meaning the different type of black. Okay. Well, you did want me to over-explain, so, you know, you can't just go, I want you to over-explain, and then after you fucking over-explain, then I'm going to fucking give you shit for over-explaining.
Yeah.
That's like me saying, hey, can you give me a cookie? And then you give me one. I go, why the fuck did you give me a cookie? Well, because you told me to give me a cookie. And then I fucking overexplain, and I go, oh, well, I wanted an oatmeal raisin cookie. I didn't want fucking chocolate chip from fucking Nabisco. And then you're like, well, you didn't. But you didn't say you wanted an oatmeal raisin cookie. You just said a cookie.
Cookies up a couple times now. Do you have cookies?
No, I don't.
Oh, I kind of want some. Yeah.
So then what happens next, Cameron?
I'm not sure why they do this, but they fake a funeral scene wherein they take bags of heroin out of a coffin.
Well, yeah. that's easy.
Just as a front?
Yeah. That way, you know, nobody would interrupt, because nobody's going to interrupt a funeral. Only people that are invited to funerals can go.
I mean, that makes sense.
But yeah, I mean,
it's a bit of a risk because they're still kind of like wide open. Like the camera is panned way out and you can see them taking that shit out.
That is true. That is true.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe it's different in a quote unquote China and like no one could like be near that.
Yeah, in enough to see Philippines, it. China, yeah.
Because according to the movie, you know, they're like the same thing or something.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden we find out that there is another deal that's going to happen, because they still want to go through this deal. But because the last deal got fucked up and everybody's trying to figure out what's going on and how the deal got fucked up, white man wants to set up another deal. But because they don't have the cash to get more heroin, he tells Ming, hey, see if you can get the council to agree to supply, get more supplies, but on credit. And so they try to do it. And once they finally convince the council to do that, I think Elaine convinces white man to, instead of just like, you know, to actually meet everybody in person. And he's like, oh, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that before? And so before they go, though, I think, yeah, Ming wants to obviously kill TNT Jackson, not because he suspects her of fucking up the deal anymore, but because she burned his face with a cigar after he tried to fucking rape her, even though she basically faked consent. But yeah, anyway, so because he wants to kill TNT Jackson, Charlie's like actually being concerned. So he's looking around for TNT, and he's like, he goes to Joe's bar and he's like, hey, Joe, where's TNT? He's like, and he's like acting like he doesn't know. And he's like, come on, don't fucking bullshit me, man. I'm trying to, if I don't find her, Ming's going to find her and kill her. I actually care about her. And he's like, all right. So he tells her, he tells Charlie where she's at. So he goes, and TNT is happy to see him. And they're like talking. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they start fucking. There's a long sex scene.
It kind of like gives you a little bit of pause, because like Joe gave her up kind of easily. Like, I mean, what if Charlie wasn't in good faith, you know, like you just kind of fucked up, bro.
Fuck you.
But yeah, back to the sex scene. Can you describe that vividly?
So they are fucking, and after they get done fucking, TNT sees that he pulls out she sees the lighter. The fuck was that? You sick fuck. What the fuck were you doing?
It was a sex scene. So it was,
were you touching yourself and thinking about that? You sick fuck.
No, it's just, I just exhaled. That's all I did.
Wow.
Asshole.
After they get done having sex, TNT Jackson sees this lighter, and she's reading the inscription that says Diane on it. And then so she's suspecting Charlie, and she's going, "Where did you get this lighter?" And he's like, "What?" He's like, "It says it has the name Diane on it." And then he's like, "What?" He's like, "Look." She was like, "Do you know this person?" And then he's like, "More like an old enemy of that person." And then she's like, "Wait, I'm confused." And he's like, "Look, I never met the chick before, okay? What are you, jealous?" But he doesn't realize that TNT is Diane. TNT is just her nickname. Diane is her real name. And so after he leaves, after they get done fucking, because they get interrupted by one of the guys that's a part of that drug crew saying the deal's going to go down, when he leaves, she finds out that the guy that she just fucked was the one that killed her brother.
What?
Yep. So she knew.
Actually, a decent twist.
Yeah.
To be honest. Although, yeah, you probably could have seen it coming.
Yeah. So then, I guess she tells Joe about it, saying the man that I fucked killed my brother because I found the lighter that I gave him, that I gave to my brother. So now I know.
A jump to a conclusion.
Yeah. So now I know that he's the one that killed my brother.
100%, which is that piece of evidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which she didn't even find the body. She didn't even know he was dead. That's another thing.
She never does.
She doesn't know if he's dead. I mean, we all know that he's dead because we saw him get killed in the beginning. But it's like she didn't know because she was looking for him. And she never got an answer. Like, nobody saw him get killed. The only person that knows that he got killed was Charlie because he killed him. But he didn't tell anybody about it. And why is he going to tell TNT Jackson that he killed somebody, especially if it's her brother? But, like, he doesn't even know that she's the guy that he killed's sister. So he doesn't even know that.
Leap in logic.
Yeah, so it's like, anyway. Yeah, let me just throw it out the window. Yeah, let's just make a motion to throw it out the window. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're gonna spill your fucking cup again, and you're gonna make weird random noises, and then you're gonna, like, yeah.
That was me opening the window, throwing logic out, and subsequently closing said window. Okay, that was pretty good. Nice effort.
So then they go, while before the drug deal happens, Elaine, I guess she leaves the meeting because they're having that meeting with the other gang members that are supplying the heroin or whatever. And she leaves and meets her, like, co-worker that's also a part of that agency that they're trying to bust this drug deal that's going to happen. Then as she's talking about it, she sees TNT Jackson walking towards where they're going to bust the drug deal. She's like, "Hey, TNT, where are you going?" She's like, "Leave me alone. I'm going to kill Charlie because I found out he killed my brother after I fucked him." Well, she doesn't say that, but, like, basically that's what it is. So she tells her, "No, don't do it." She's like, "Why?" She's like, "Look, it took me a long years to get this set up. And if you go in there now, you're going to ruin the entire bust."
And she, like, doesn't fucking care.
Yeah, she doesn't care. So she goes and tells the co-worker of hers to go tell the local police to capture TNT Jackson to put her in jail so she doesn't fuck up the operation. And while they're, like, having this little... The police are chasing TNT Jackson, there's a parade going on. And this is when I kind of, like... I don't know. I guess it's okay because it's not a white people doing it. But did you notice anything about the parade?
Was it like a Chinese New Year kind of thing?
Or at kind, least kind of. To, yeah, but did you
poorly?
But did you notice some of the crowd that was a part of the parade? Did you notice some of them on how they looked? The ones that were in the parade?
I might have overlooked that.
Okay. Here's the thing. Now, this is supposed to take place in China, but in reality, it's the Philippines. They were, a lot of the people that were a part of this parade were dressed up like tribal men, and they had black painted all over their body.
Oh, I do recall that.
Yes. Yep. Now, here's the thing. Would that be considered, well, I guess, no, it's not blackface because they're not, they didn't paint their face black and put white lips
is it a
on
bit
it.
Of a gray area.
But, like, they were dressed up like tribal men with spears and everything, and their entire, you could tell that, like, it was, like, painted black all over their body. So would that be considered like a racial thing too, or maybe not because they weren't doing it in a cartoony way?
Considering where the rest of the movie was heading, probably.
Mm. But then again, TNT Jackson was seeing this before she got chased by the police, so, and she wasn't making a big deal out of it, so I guess it's not a big deal because she does see the same group of people that are painting themselves black and, like, you know, like primary color black, wearing tribal gear. So she didn't seem to have a problem with it, so I guess it's okay then.
I guess so.
Okay. So anyway, she gets captured by the police. Then after she gets captured by the police, Elaine is going back to White Man and the rest of the crew. And then she sees her coworker after he got beat up. So now they all know that she's an undercover agent or a police officer or something. So they beat the shit out of her. And they say, what are we going to do with this guy? They say, White Man says, just kill him and you can have fun with her, but kill her after you get done playing Chinese finger cuffs with her.
They get her, like, fresh out the shower, too. That's kind of disrespectful.
Did they get her straight out of the shower?
Yeah, like, she just put on a robe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. For some reason, I thought she went in. Anyway, so, then after that, Joe comes up with some kind of an idea to bust out TNT Jackson, which, how does he do that, Cameron?
Joe?
Yes.
Hold on. Dress up as the guy from the parade? And, like,
yeah, but I'm saying, how does he specifically, like, bust her out? Like, what did he do?
Oh, fuck. does he steal the keys? Does he seduce another cop? Does he karate chop everyone to death? Does he kick down the door? Does he also have sex with her? I'm sorry, that's pretty high.
So what he does is he pays a bunch of the people that were part of that same parade to basically go storm into the police officer's headquarters. And so he goes into the main little dragon thing where there's, like, you know, where they're doing the dragon thing where there's, like, 5-6 people that, like, hide themselves under this long dragon with the cloth behind the head part. And so they go in and they bust out TNT Jackson. She's hiding in there, only to find out that, like, as soon as they get out, the police see that TNT Jackson is in there, which I don't know how they would know, but somehow they knew, and they start chasing her again.
Wow.
And then what happened after that, Cameron?
And then Charlie?
Yes.
Makes a power move at the big drug meeting
mm-hmm.
by saying that he's the boss. and then it devolves into a fight, like most of the scenes in this movie.
Oh, which, by the way,
everyone's ass.
And by the way, we do find out who fucked up the entire deal.
Oh,
who fucked up the deal?
Oh, was it Charlie?
Yep. So while everybody thought it was TNT Jackson or possibly somebody else, it was Charlie who did it the whole time because he wanted to be the boss, like what Cameron said.
Didn't he say that? Like, oh, it was me the whole time.
Just at the meeting, yeah. Well, no, technically there was a scene where Elaine suspected that it was Charlie, and he was like saying like, oh no, it wasn't me. But like,
she's like, damn, I didn't do that shit.
Yeah. So yeah, and he was kicking everybody's asses.
Did he kick the white dude boss's ass or Ming?
He
got one of them.
He hit both of them. Like, he hit Mr. White Man first in the stomach because he was pissed that, like, he fucked up the deal and is, like, trying to take over. And then Ming was, like, saying, like, was the only one basically saying, I don't take orders from you, even though every one of the major head bosses that he's doing business with said, oh, okay, we'll do business exclusively with you. Which I didn't understand why Ming all of a sudden would go against that when he's making deals and money from the people that he's getting the supplies from. That is a part of the crew.
Like, he might as well just be like, all right, shit, fine.
Exactly, because he's working for those guys. Those are his bosses. But for him to go against his bosses, he might as well just say, here, let me just fucking commit, like, seppuku or harakiri on myself and stab myself in the stomach while someone cuts my hat off with a samurai sword.
You know, that would have been a better option.
Yeah, except that, but this wasn't Japan.
Yeah, this was China.
This was Philippines, China.
Poor taste.
This was Philippines, China. Or, I'm sorry, Philippines, yeah. Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And after he starts fighting with everybody and Charlie wins, he's going downstairs, and TNT Jackson, and everybody, somehow everybody knows Kung Fu, and I thought for some reason, I guess that explains why you have the song Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting, because even people that don't know the martial art is doing Kung Fu somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of speeding up processes, Elaine's doing Kung Fu, everybody's doing Kung Fu. And so,
like, everybody's kung fu fighting.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Everybody else was doing, like, the traditional, like, you know, like the Chinese kung fu where they're doing, like, the eagle claws and stuff like that. But Charlie, or Stan Shaw's character, is the only one where you could tell who he got officially trained from. And who did he get trained from?
Was it Joe?
No.
Was it Bruce Lee?
Yes, it was Bruce Lee. How did you know that? How could you tell that he was a student of Bruce Lee?
I don't know. I just guessed.
You just guessed?
No, I guess his style, I don't know. Is there an obvious answer that I might have missed?
Probably. Okay, let me ask you this. When you see somebody making noises like, who do you think of immediately?
Bruce Lee.
Yes. And he was doing almost the exact moves, except if a five-year-old was watching that.
You know what I think?
When he was watching Enter the Dragon and was trying to copy.
Was a wow, Cameron finally got something right, like sound clip.
That's a good idea. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm going to do that in post edit.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, while editing, I'm going to do that while editing. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, once again, Cameron just fucks himself over by stating something, because if he wouldn't have said that, I would have like not have done it.
Shit.
a lot of the things that he plays himself over, like, it's because he says, like, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to do this or you're going to do that? And I end up doing it.
I'm not even sure where they're going to go.
Yeah.
They always go somewhere.
Yep. Or who knows? I might not even do it. Who knows? We'll find out. So then Charlie runs into TNT Jackson. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so glad that you're safe. Like, hey, we're going to have to get out of here. But guess what? I'm the new leader of the business now. And she slaps him in the face, or not slaps him, but does like the backhand fist thing. And he's like, why the hell did you do that, TNT? She's like, my name is TNT Jackson, but everybody calls me Diane. And that's when she realized.
It's like, it's TNT to you. Or some shit like that.
No, she goes, it's Diane to you, but to everybody else that knows me, it's TNT Jackson. And he's like, and as soon as she said that, he goes, holy shit, that guy I killed was her brother. So they start going into doing kung fu again and really bad choreography. And there's like so many instances where you could tell it was a stunt double of Diane TNT Jackson. Especially when there's the flips and things like that. Like,
I mean, as if they needed it. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And then they're fighting, and I'm like, okay, so how is this going to play out? And somehow, after they're like fighting for God knows how long, TNT Jackson finally decides to shove her hand through Charlie's stomach and pulls her hand out. And he's like,
for those,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, for those of you that need a visual, Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, like the whole Kali Ma scene. There you go.
Except the difference is that the stomach doesn't just open. That the stomach doesn't just open up and she sticks her hand through and pulls out something. Like, she like forces her hand like a knife through the stomach and then pulls her hand out. I thought you knew Indiana Jones. Like, the guy didn't like stick his hand through the guy's chest. He made the chest open like with magic and pulled the heart out and the wound closed again.
Okay.
Anyway, so then after she stabbed him through the stomach with her hand, like, he's just, Charlie's just standing around, looking around everywhere, spitting out blood, and he falls down. TNT Jackson stands over him, and after he dies, it just says, the end. And that's the end of the fucking movie.
I was like, what? Y'all gonna end like that? Yeah.
Yay! We'll be right back after these messages.
Okay, here's the deal. You like podcasts. That's cool. So do I. Well, the podcast you just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network, which is bloody dripping with top-shelf podcasts that will make your ears go pa-cow and your brain go, hey, thanks, this is dope. Head to necropodicon.com to learn more. Necropodicon, it me, what that?
And we're back. The funny thing was that as soon as I clicked stopped after I said we'll be right back after these messages, Cameron was like saying something. Hey, don't disturb me, man. And as soon as I got done saying after these messages, I clicked stop right away. And Cameron was like saying something really long. And then like after he got done saying it, I was like, just to let you know, man, I stopped as soon as I said after these messages. But don't worry, you can say it again, you know, when we come back. So what did you say before I clicked stop?
I have an important announcement. Isaiah, please charge your phone. You're at 10%. Don't want the phone to die there, champ. Thanks. long is that clip? Did you make that longer?
No.
Oh.
You just think it's long. Like a big long dick that goes in your mouth. Anyway, so Cameron, do you know what time is it? Do you know what time it is now?
This is Bad Rider. Yeah, that.
So Cameron,
I'll take a sip from my beer. This episode's brought to you by Mango Carts by Golden Road Brewing.
And this episode is brought to you by Arbonne Energy Fizz Sticks, which you can open up a packet and put it in some water, and it's made with all natural ingredients. And you know, if you've seen my stories, I'm living a healthier life now, which I actually lost 15 pounds.
That is impressive.
Yes, I think I was at 237. Now I am 223 pounds, which my goal is to go down to 190 or maybe 180. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I look when I reach 190.
Wow.
So Cameron, how does this work?
So we rate the movie out of 10 or 10 with 5 or above being rad bad, which means you like it and you would recommend it to someone, but below that it would be bad bad, which means you wouldn't recommend it, you didn't like
Shut
it, and you don't want anyone to know that you liked it. And say if it was a 4.9 and you're like really on the edge, well then it means you liked it, but you just don't want anyone to know about that.
Boring.
Yes, that is correct, Cameron. So do you okay, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. So Cameron, what did you like about this movie, and what did you not like about this movie? And finally, what score would you give this out of a 10?
We're going to soft 10. Okay. What I liked, the gore, first and foremost, really. The arm in the beginning, and then her really intense ending to, like, waste Charlie with the whole hand in the chest thing. Wicked. Weird ending. But, alright. Yeah, I'll admit, I laughed. Yeah, because I'm a sick person. Yeah, go ahead and message us about that. I also liked, to some extent, the poor choreography, because it was just fucking stupid. I was not sober watching this, and that's why it was fun. I guess there's a little point for that, too. I also thought the cast wasn't awful, which probably is a bonus, considering most of these are awful, but it wasn't great. What I didn't like was also the choreography. At least accidentally hit someone and, like, don't edit it out. That would have been funny. But now we're just going to keep pretending and putting, like, punches, like, 2 inches away from
my God,
everyone's faces.
Are you still talking? I hope you actually get fucking cancer, not as a joke.
Wow. So what I also didn't like was, like, the script writing was horrible. And then some of the transitions were pretty bad. And some of the acting was, like, not very good. uh,
Yeah, so that. Also, is
of course,
I mean, most of these movies in like are kind of done in poor taste.
Of course, I suck dick for weed.
There's some shitty aspects.
Of course, I suck dick for weed.
Filipinos is Chinese thing and all that, but
of course, I suck dick for weed.
Which is what that is. So Richard, oh wait, let me get my rating.
Of course,
I'm gonna give it a flat 5. Weed. Just because the positives just marginally.
Wait. What did you say your score? I couldn't hear your score.
I'll bet.
Of course, I suck dick for weed.
Maybe if you didn't play the sound clip. Maybe. I gave it a 5.
Okay.
So, What do you like about the movie? What do you not like about the movie? What would you give it a 10? I'm sorry, I was trying to do the like creepy voice where I sound like that.
But of course, I suck dick for weed.
What I liked about the movie, oh fuck, my cheeks hurt.
Sorry, did I break your
comment? My face cheeks, not my ass cheeks, but my face cheeks hurt.
Thanks for
saying. Well, I just didn't want you to play a sound clip of me saying my cheeks hurt and go, oh, you hear that, folks? Yeah. You hear that, folks? Richard says his ass cheek hurts because he dropped the soap. Anyway, so, so what I liked about the movie, I didn't think I was gonna like this movie, to be honest, but it definitely was better than I thought it was gonna be. It was I loved the really bad ADR dubbing, and because I was watching this with my girl, we were having a fun time with this. I mean, the acting sucked, but it was done in a funny way. The choreography was horrible, but most of it was very, very funny, because I think what I did was a lot of the choreography and the way how some of the like Filipino Chinese people were dressed, like the, you know, the typical kung fu attire. I was pretending like as if it was like Kung Pao. So like me and my girl had more fun with it, because like while they were like fighting TNT Jackson, I was like pretending to be like that Wimp Lo character where I'm like, gay, hey, a gay, like that kind of shit. And so, are you okay? Anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So then, yeah. And even though I
sound clips it.
Oh, okay. So then, another thing I liked was some of the dumb one-liners that TNT Jackson said. I mean, even though it's considered racist, what she said, but it's not really, because, you know, she's not white, so it's okay. She said when she was like, oh, I never did it with a blank in the chain before, and then when she was like, when she knocked the fucking light bulb, she's like, you wanted it black, you got it black. Stupid shit like that I thought was funny. And yeah, and the I mean, I could name a lot more, but my favorite one too was just like with traditional kung fu movies, as soon as she killed the person that she that had killed her brother, like the revenge story, it just fucking goes the end and that's it. Like, just like a traditional kung fu movie, which Jonathan told me that traditionally that's what kung fu movies do, which, I mean, I know they do that, but, like, I kind of forgot about that. Anyway, the things I didn't like about the movie, I wish there would have been at least like one like actual good choreography, like, because I don't know, and I don't know, that's mainly about it. Like, I mean, that's the only complaint I had, was that, like, I mean, if I'm judging it based on, like, if I, like, an actual, not an actual movie critic, but, like, if I was going to judge it in a different way, I would say, oh, can we at least have, like, one good choreography? Then, yeah, that would be the only thing, but it's very minor.
Could I have one choreography, please?
Like, one good choreography?
Just one of choreography.
Is that what I said?
Nah, it's just what it sounded like. So it's just making it funny. It's just over-explained. Continue.
So the things, yeah, that would be the only thing I didn't like about the movie. As far as what I would give the score out of a 10, this was definitely way better than Bong of the Dead and After School Lunch Special. So I'm going to give this... I'm going to give this... I can't hear... I'm going to give this an 8. I really enjoyed this movie. I mean, surprisingly, like, I was shocked. I was expecting this to be a big piece of shit, especially because Cameron picked this for the Wheel of Shit. But
I'm a piece of shit.
Well, no, because a lot of the movies that you picked sucked ass because you went on like Google or some shit and typed in like the worst fucking movies ever, and like they a lot of them fucking sucked ass. So that's why I was shocked. So yeah, I'm gonna give this an 8. Like, this was a very good pick on Cameron's part.
Oh, thank you.
I have to give him credit. He did pick a good one. I really enjoyed this. Which I'm surprised he only gave this a 5. Like, I thought he would have enjoyed the movie that he picked better, but I guess I enjoyed it more than he did. anyway, so now for the actual scores. TNT Jackson on IMDb got a 4.8 out of 10. On Rotten Tomato, there's no tomato meter. And weirdly enough, only 17% of the audience liked it. And for that's weird. And for Letterboxd, 2.6, it got a 2.6 out of 5. So definitely half the past the halfway mark. I mean, I actually really liked this movie. I think this is another movie that I could say was as enjoyable like movies like Samurai Cop and Miami Connection and things like that, and Troll 2.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And, what are you eating now?
This, episode is brought to you by, Big Red Gum.
Big Red Cum?
Which does not at all go.
Did you say Big Red Cum? Well, anyway, it's time for this.
Yeah.
So, Cameron, how does this work without... Hopefully you can explain this without making the little sounds that we all just love so much because you're eating a wet bull penis.
So we spin the wheel. Then it lands on one. And then we do that one.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and name the movies that are on the wheel. There's a lot of choose options, obviously, because we covered quite a bit. So for Cameron's movie, there is Chud, A Conspiracy of Lies, Brain Damage, and of course, last but not least of Cameron's movies, Incredibly Strange Creatures That Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies. And then for my movies, I have Firecracker, which, like I said, coincidentally enough, was directed by the same person as TNT Jackson, Warriors of the Wasteland, Terminal Force, and, of course, Dance Fu. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and spin the wheel.
¶¶
All right. Let's see here. Oh, and landed on a choose option. So, Cameron, you have the choice to choose between your movie Brain Damage or my movie Firecracker.
Firecracker.
All right. I mean, why not do back to back, right? Two films directed by the same director.
And it makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Next one's going to be Firecracker. And so as far as the point system goes, I think you got 2 points and I have 5.
You know, it's a comeback.
Yeah, you're gonna get up there. We'll see who wins. You still got a chance, I think.
Yay.
Anyway, so contact details, Cameron.
At Bad Red Movies Podcast for Instagram. And at Bad Red Movies for Twitter. Bad Red Movies for Facebook. Bad Red Movies at gmail.com. And I think that's it.
Great.
Great.
Well, I want to thank Cameron for coming on. This definitely was a treat because it's been such a long time since we did the last one. But I think, 3 months, right? August, September, October, November. So, yeah, 3 months. And
it's nice to get back in that rhythm.
Yeah. So, stick around, folks, for the next episode, which will be Firecracker.
Our updates. So you could stop messaging us with some bullshit. Thank you.
And then after Firecracker will be a very special episode because of a certain number. Mm-hmm. Which
That's 68 is the next one, right?
Well, 68 is going to be Firecracker.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that comes episode 69, which we are doing a movie. A very special movie. And once we get done with the entire wheel and of course find out who won the competition, I've been getting some messages from some directors that want us to cover their films. I got about 2, which I'll probably add them to the wheel, and also on the Discord for Necropodicon Discord. Which I want to thank also everybody at our network, Necropodicon, for also recommending some movies, which I will. I know it's been a long time, but you guys got to understand that we got to get the Bad Rad Wheel of Shit done first. And once we get done with these movies, we're going to put your movies that you put on our Bad Rad Movies section of the Necropodicon Discord page. We will add them on there. I know it's been a while, but we will add it on. we will add it on the wheel. Just give us some time to get done with these ones, and then we will put the movies you guys recommended on there. And, of course, I know I kind of made a mistake of this long time ago, but this time instead of me just making the decision, I will also get Cameron's input on it too if we should cover the movie. So if you guys are directors and want us to check out your film or whatever and we'll talk about it, I guess message us and have it streaming or something, or have like a file to send us that we can watch the movie.
Send us your shit.
Yeah. We'll add that to the wheel of shit as well. And if we don't like the movie, don't take it personally. It's just our opinion. We'll still tell people to watch it, but we're just going to give our opinion about it. Anyway, so that's it. That's about it. Like I said, I want to thank Cameron. I want to thank everybody for, the condolences and for wishing me luck and everything. Of course, you know, Cameron and I, we're going to keep doing this until we both turn into ash. Mm-hmm. Or if the entire population gets wiped out by Corona.
Who knows?
Yeah, we'll keep doing this. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, as usual, have a good one.
Have a good bit.
And way to end.
Strong.
Music, please. Jack Diesel. Let's do this. I'm back and about to storm. Shaq Fu, a legend reborn.
Save us, Big Daddy.
Like all good stories, we start long ago.
In a Chinese town by the name of Hung Lo.
Evil forces had made a dark plan. What planet needed was huge black man, an orphan baby with special power,
and a magic symbol of a lotus flower.
His teenage body like new Lamborghini. He waxed my rickshaw in tight mankini.
Yeah, yeah, you pray, pray.
No, I just like your technique.
Yeah, yeah, pray, pray.
Man, you are freak.
He became a master in art of wooshing and beat the girl beater and all of his bling. So if smacking down shorties is path you choose, prepare your ass for Shaq size 22s. Next to emerge from the demon lair, a short-fingered chump with comb-over hair. We fired his ass with a hoo-hoo, yeah!
Then shred him up like Shaolin guitar. It's a Shaq attack, the best you can find. I'm back and bound to save mankind.
The chosen one.
Boom! Gets up, gets up, gets up.
Our story continue with new situation. Canadian punk on Scissor Plantation. Prepubescent fans of boy who can sing. Don't they know he has tiny ying ching? Next stop Hollywood, land of plastic like James Goldbond.
I got a license to ass kick. I hit the strip with the silicone swank
and put the pooch down with a hoochie skank. The legend grew in land of snooty. Shaq fight fat flying farting booty.
Kenny got a big old butt,
but I took it down like Fu Manchu.
Kenny got a big old butt.
Ha! You break the internet while Shaq break you.
My journey led me to the darkest places,
where Shaq attacked that drunken racist.
I guess his heart wasn't so brave after all.
But one more devil who still must fall.
The darkest diva you ever saw.
With metal claw and pointy bra, we were all brainwashed by the song she sang.
When all along it was Yin Lo Wang. So my Shaq attack straight rocked the world.
Shaq don't preach material.
Don't try your luck, cause if I see you again, I'll Shaq Fu you up.
Let's go whoop some demon ass.
You know it ain't hard to tell. I'll kick your ass straight back to hell. I'm back and about to storm. Shaq Fu, baby, a legend reborn. Shaq Fu, get down with the crew. Yin Lo Wang, I'm coming for you. Shaq Fu, get down with the crew. Yin Lo Wang, I'm coming for you. It's a Shaq attack, the best you can find. I'm back and bound to save mankind.
I get paid every time I say go bar.
Shaq Fu, get down with the crew.
I get paid every time I say go bar.
Shaq Fu, get down with the crew.
I get paid every time I say go bar.
Go bomb!
Of course, I suck dick for weed.